I'm back, and I've brought a friend.
Hey, what's up, guys? David Felder. I'm a dev on the ASP.NET team, and I'm going to show you some vNext 101 stuff. Unfortunately, a bunch of this stuff was showed this morning earlier.
Yeah, this is the 101. This is really a 102, I think.
Yeah, we'll recap some stuff, and we'll show you some of the features of our new product system and about compilation and stuff. And answer some questions that you may have.
Yeah, so there are some unanswered questions from this morning. We have them up here on the prompter, so we'll get to those in a little bit. We want to make sure that we can get most of your questions answered. I have no idea what you're going to demo now, so I'm going to power it along and ask you questions as you go. So let's get into it.
So today we have this new project format that has a project JSON. In VS, I can create a new class library template in VS 2014, if you guys have all seen this before this morning. I'll create a new class library. And we actually have one project type for all things. So the web project, the console app are all class libraries. This is a new JSON file that has dependencies and configurations. So this has been seen before. These are dependencies per target framework. You could think of this as a NuGet package. If you look at what the output of this build is, it actually is a NuGet package. So if I build this and look at the output, you'll see it built two things, a NupKeg, and the symbol is NupKeg.
So this is very different already.
This is very new.
This is a new, you said a new project type.
Yep.
So it's actually a different project system in Visual Studio altogether.
Correct. So it's not your usual class library. It's one that compiles n times for n being the number of configurations. So it compiles for each target framework.
Okay. So you might have heard of this of like cross-compiling.
Cross-compiling,
before.
Yeah.
Right.
So what that means is that the output is a single NuGet package that has a bunch of different target frameworks. One for K10, that's the cloud optimized profile.
Okay, we call the cloud optimized that
profile.
Runs on Core CLR.
Runs on Core CLR.
Right.
And this is the good old desktop framework. Little known feature, you can actually add more frameworks here. So let's say you were targeting Net4o. You type Net4o here. And if I build this, the same thing happens, but it builds three times. It takes a bit longer. And the output, you'll see three things.
Three is more than two, so I would expect it to take a bit longer.
Net4.5, Net4.0, and K10. And
that's
class
cool.
Library, yeah, actually has the package has three target frameworks in the lib folder. So think of it as one is a bunch of CS projects built into one project system.
What was that tool that you just used? A lot of people may not have seen that before.
NuGet Package Explorer.
Where can they get that from?
You should have this installed. If you don't have it, then I have no idea what you're doing.
Sometimes I wonder why we don't just install that with Visual Studio.
I know.
Like, it's such a great tool. Shout out to Luan, who maintains that.
So it's on CodePlex. I think it's actually linked from the NuGet site. So it's a one-click installer. You can install this on your Windows box, and you'll get this tool. This tool can browse package content. You can actually edit packages or create them as well. So I can go here, do things like drag it around.
I think if you click on a DLL, it'll actually give you like a preview down the bottom.
The assembly information.
Very cool.
XML, you can actually view content, so it's kind of nice. You can actually edit and save.
Nice.
So kind of crazy. All right, so that's one feature. Let's talk about something else now. So there's more stuff that can actually go in here. So you may be asking yourself, since we have this new JSON format, what happens to all the features of MS Build, for example, right? So for example, you can add defines to MS Build. Let's, for comparison, create a new class library that we have today.
So that's a good point. So just to recap, this is a new project system. So the existing people would have been used to the current project system.
Correct.
Where you have a .csproj file. That csproj file is an MS Build file. It's a valid MS Build file. And to compile that project, you essentially call MS Build and point it at that csproj. That's not what's going on here. We have a new project system that's being built by our compiler, essentially, because we have this unique feature, right? This symmetry between what compiles in the server.
Runtime and
design time, I guess. And so this is different. People need to remember that this is something that's different about
it. So don't get worried if you're thinking the MS Build is completely gone. It doesn't have to be. We actually have an MS Build file for the VS scenarios. So if you unload our project system, our prototype, and then you edit the kproj file.
Ah, that looks familiar.
It actually has a bunch of targets and tasks in here by default. When you actually run a build on a kproj, it actually is shelling out to the command line, running an exec task on MS Build. I can show you that in 1 second. It actually calls kpm build.
KPM is the same thing you do from the command line yourself, right?
Okay. So the idea is to build an experience from the command line that can run in VS as well. But VS does not degrade your experience. So if I build in VS, it runs the same process as if it built from the command line.
So that's one of our tenets, really. Like, we talk about some of the core principles around ASP.NET VNext when we're designing this, and one of the things was command line first, and then symmetry between command line and server, and symmetry between command line and VS, and command line and cloud.
Correct.
We don't want things to change or the experience to get different if you run this in a cloud-based IDE versus...
Or Monaco versus,
Sublime versus whatever. It's going to be the same everywhere, but obviously VS is always going to be the premium experience, and we have nice tooling and all that type of stuff.
So, okay, I was saying before, if I run K... So on the command line, to even get K installed, there's this thing called KVM, which is the K version manager. So it says K runtime version manager right there. And it says build number.
What's this K thing? Why do we keep talking about K and there's ASP.NET VNext?
So the code name for VNext was Project K. Okay. And since we couldn't find a good enough name, we just call it VNext.
So when I see K, I should just think ASP.NET VNext.
Yes, you should.
It's the same thing.
Yep.
Okay.
So K is like, it's kind of the prefix. And you have KVM, K version manager, and you have KRE, which is the K runtime environment. And you have KPM, K Package Manager.
I think we should do a KTLA blog post
that
explains what all these things are.
Because it would make more sense.
Because I've heard about seven different TLAs
already. Even worse is we have the target platform is called K10, but it's really like core CLR. Well,
I think it's meant to be K10, right?
Yes, it's K10.
We call it K10.
Yeah. So back to the...
Of course, all this may change too.
Yeah, it'll probably change. It's pretty early alpha. So from the command line, I get KVM via some magic, and I think Dan this morning showed our home repo on github.com/ASP.NET/home. That actually has instructions on how to acquire KVM. It's a one-liner you put into your command window, this giant script. You copy into your command line and...
Don't scroll to the right. You don't need to see what it's doing.
And you hope you don't get a virus, but trust, it's fine. And this is for non-Windows users, for...
So this doesn't get me the source code. This is just getting me the
KVM.
Like the SDK.
Correct.
Kind of. Okay.
And then once you have KVM, you run KVM upgrade, which I won't run now. And that will get you your first version of the KRE.
I see.
All right. Okay. So the KRE itself is the entire runtime for this new system.
I see.
The KRE by default installs into, I'll just type it in, into your user profile, .kre. And it has an alias for the default version. A bin that has KVM, CMD, and PS1, and it has the packages.
So here's the second big change.
Yes.
So we talked about these tenets and these principles. The second big one here is that this isn't part of Windows. This isn't platform runtime anymore.
Yep.
This is something I just installed. And you said it went in your user profile?
Yep.
It's not even installed.
It's not even installed globally, right?
It's per just user. A bunch of files.
Yep.
So it means it can be portable.
Yep.
And it's one of the things that lets us do the other big thing, which is cross-platform.
Cross-platform, right. Yep. So KRE is right here in my user profile. Packages, I have a whole bunch of versions because I do dev every day, so we get a new version like for every CI build we do. I have some custom builds from like my local.
If ever you needed
KRE.
Proof that we did side by side of the full stack, here it is. I think how many different versions do you have here?
I don't even know.
84, I can see it in the bottom left-hand corner.
Wow.
Wow, okay.
So on a Mac, it's the same experience. If I run KVM, I have KVM here on a Mac.
Wow.
And if I open, I think it's that KRE, user profile KRE. Have the same layout. I have packages and a whole bunch of versions too. So this is our runtime environment. Once you have that, you actually have tools on the path. You have K, KPM, and KVM. So right here, I'm marking my project, my same project in the class library. K is the actual runtime itself.
Okay.
It has help. It tells you K options, tells you what you can do.
So if I wanted to find an analogy for this. This, I guess, it's a little bit like node.exe, like this thing here.
Yeah.
This is the entry
runtime.
Point into the K.
This
world.
Is the runtime.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's runtime and there's like the tooling for package management.
I see.
So the runtime is K, and KPM is the builder of packages, the packer of your app, and to restore packages.
Okay.
So there's K, KPM, pack, build, and restore are your main commands. So when we're actually in VS, VS is actually calling these actual commands on the command line to run stuff in VS. So when you opened your project type, your project, and you added a dependency and you hit save in your JSON file, that actually calls KPM restore on your project and restores the thing globally. So the idea is to have the experience be exactly the same. So if I ran KPM restore here, there's no dependencies, but if it had any, it would actually restore them and bring them down.
Using NuGet, I imagine.
Yep, NuGet. So I'll run KPM. Well, first I'll delete the actual bin folder, so you believe me. Then run KPM build. Well, none there, right? No
nothing
bin folder right there.
Okay, nothing up your sleeve.
KPM build. And I have the debug build on, so that's why it's spewing so much stuff. And it printed the same thing that it printed in Visual Studio.
If people want to see that, how do you turn on the debug build?
You can turn on an environment variable called carry trace. We plan to make this easier in the future. Right now, it's a little clunky. So you set carry trace equals one, and you get this giant spew.
Nice.
And it shows you what's happening along the way. So it compiles for every target framework. Here it compiled for .NET 4.0, then 4.5.
Does VS set that environment variable by default? Would you see that
in the build output? It does not. So by default, you just see building.
I see.
And and this at the bottom.
Cool.
So that just built the same. If I look in the bin folder, it should show the same package.
That you built with VS
before. Yeah.
I see. So there's that symmetry we're talking about.
So let's get into some JSON features. So one of the big things that people bring up is that we don't have the file list in the actual project. We do right now, but it's not actually used. That's completely temporary.
Right.
In the current CS project, you actually have a list of files listed verbatim in the project file and references.
Right.
We've taken this list and made it implicit by default. So by default, you get a wildcard **CS for all your projects, for your directory. So by default, I have this JSON file that has no mention of files, but this gets compiled for my...
So the file system is the source of truth here.
Correct.
So again, going back to this has to work from the command line as well as everywhere else and perhaps in a different platform.
And that's key. That's key.
List, like having
a list of files in a different thing that's not...
We need an API to update the list of files because you might do something with a script. And like now it's like, nope, it's on the file system. It's included.
It doesn't mean that you can't exclude files. So one feature that we added, I can copy this file in the same project and add some bad C#. So this is not C#. Then I'll build it. And it'll complain, saying, oh my gosh, you guys are crazy. This isn't C#. What you can do is in your JSON file, you can go to the code property and specify which things you want to be code. So you can either be inclusive or exclusive. So I can say I want to just compile class1.cs.
Okay, so there's always an escape hatch, right? You can always go back and
list files.
Be specific, I guess.
Yep. And you can even list globs. So I can say I want class. I guess there's no glob to actually exclude this, but I could do class1.cs and I could do ** or foo ***.cs, for example. And this will be used to actually compile your code.
Okay.
And the compiler knows which files went into the compilation, and so it watches those files for changes when you actually make changes and you refresh in a browser scenario. You can also exclude files for compilation. So I can say exclude if I want to be exclusive and say I want to exclude class1. I don't know if this works, but
now is a good time to try support spaces while everybody is watching.
So in theory, let me change this name to class2.
Does VS honor this?
It does.
Really?
So if I in here, if I do class2.cs, I want to exclude that file only. I build this, it should build without errors.
I see. So if I opened class2.cs, the editor will still fail because the language service is independent of this.
Correct.
Okay, but when I build, it just ignores it.
So you said language service.
Mm.
So you may be asking yourself, how does VS actually get IntelliSense for these projects? Because there's no file list in here. VS can show the actual hierarchy of dependencies. Let me add a package so we can actually see some features. So let me add, give me a package, NewtonSoft.json 508.
Trusty old JSON.net.
This has one dependency, though. This has no dependencies. I need a better package. I need Microsoft ASP.NET. We got less stuff in here. Configuration model, not MVC.
That has a few dependencies.
HTTP, maybe. Yes, it's a lot less. We actually changed the version to 1.0.0, and the IntelliSense is actually picking it up, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
So I'll put star there. Star means get me the highest version matching this prefix. So I can say I want to rely on 1.0.0 anything and get me the highest version.
Nice.
And we actually use this a lot for our build process. We actually build our entire stack this way, which is pretty cool. So in a few seconds, when it says restores in progress, it's beautiful. Imagine it's actually animated and spinning. It's complete, and now we have Microsoft and HTTP, which has no dependencies.
Ah, we're trying to show something here. We need something with a
web listener. No, MVC.
Let's bring MVC in. What could possibly go wrong?
The internet here is awesome, right?
Yeah,
we have good internet at Microsoft, so we should be fine.
Can we watch that while it's restoring?
Yes, absolutely, we can. there's a package package manager log right here that actually shows the output of the restore. And there's a little known feature that's not in anyone's builds but mine. This dependency graph actually comes from, this is like the different, this is the wrong MVC, but it still works, I guess.
Oh, that was the.
This is the actual.
That's like MVC, this is MVC from 3 years
MVC
ago.
MVC 3, look at this, MVC 3. This is kind of cool. So this works with existing packages on Nuget.org. You don't have to use our packages.
Interesting.
And it's showing the entire dependency graph. So the question is, how is this working? So Visual Studio actually launches a tool in the SDK that comes with the KRE called the design time host. It's an instance of the runtime that pretends to be running the runtime. So by default, what happens is it actually boots up the runtime and says, here are my apps references. Now give me all the information I need to compose this application, as if it were the runtime itself.
I see.
So VS does actually scan the files on disk and compiles like that way. It actually asks the runtime for the files and dependencies.
So again, symmetry between what happens on the
server
and VS. Even in VS, the runtime is running. It's still
running.
In charge.
And to show that, there's this backdoor, which I don't think is on by default anywhere else but here, where we have a trace of what the communication between the runtime piece and VS is.
So is this code in the repository? Could people actually look at this design time host if this grabs their attention?
Yeah, so what you can do is you can go to the GitHub ASP.NET K runtime.
Which is my attempted segue into one of the third principles and tenets.
We're open source.
Oh, we're open source.
That is, yeah, we are open source. You can see our daily progress.
Even this type of stuff where we get VS to integrate with our runtime.
So it's right here in the source design time host. This is the piece of code that VS boots up. It boots up a TCP connection, which is kind of cool around GitHub looking at the code. It boots up a connection to our actual process, and it sends data back and forth over JSON. And VS is parsing it on the VS side and actually putting that into the UI.
So hang on, let me rewind a bit. So there's the devinf.exe process, that's Visual Studio.
Yep.
And then there is effectively a KXE in one of the better words.
And you can actually see it running. If I open
there's
Task
another
Manager.
Process.
Yep.
And it opens a socket. So which one's the server and which one's the client? Or is it more like peer-to-peer?
It's peer-to-peer.
One connects to the other, right?
Yeah, I think the server is VS, I think.
Okay,
VS
so
is the server.
VS spawns the other process.
VS spawns the process and passes
an address back, essentially,
yes,
a port.
A port back.
And says, call me back when you're ready on this port. And there's literally a localhost TCP connection.
There's TCP going back and forth. If you look at KLR, it actually has two versions running. And if you look closely, if I can zoom in on the actual arguments. There it is, design time host, blah, 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 port, crazy stuff.
That's awesome.
ID. And I think that's the VS instance ID.
And we're passing it back and forth with JSON, you said.
JSON.
So there's literally JSON going between those two processes.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
So what's happening is, it's actually, it performs a compilation on the project with context, and it returns data like target frameworks, so it can actually put that in the list of target frameworks. It returns the friendly name, it returns the language version, it returns, defines compilation options.
No folders full of XML schema.
Nothing, no
anymore.
Schema.
This is
all runtime, yep.
Wow, that's very cool.
Even references, product references,
the entire
thing.
And I guess this makes sense. If you think back to the first demo you did where you install KVM, and you install KVM into your user profile, that didn't touch Visual Studio, so how is Visual Studio going to know what versions you have unless you do it this way?
Yeah, and actually, VS will use the version of the KRE you tell it to use. So let's say you want to use a new version of the KRE.
Wait, so VS isn't even tied effectively
to
the tooling?
So if I go into the property window, that is driven solely off of the default. So we have this thing called alias that you saw earlier in the KRE folder. The alias itself is an arbitrary name mapping to a version of a KRE. So if I do KVM alias on the command line, it shows me a bunch of different versions of KRE that I have. And by default, you have one called default. And it's the one that VS will use. So VS will read this file and say, oh, you have an alias of this version.
So that's basically the lookup. Like, that's the addressing. How does it know what to use?
Yep.
There's a file called default that has a thing in it.
Yep.
And there's a folder with a matching name.
Yep.
And then
it finds
happens.
The name. Yep.
That's pretty impressive.
Which makes it possible to update the KRE and exploit VS, which is awesome.
That's very cool. No safety net.
None.
But it's much more flexible.
Super flexible.
You can deploy a whole new version of K or ASP.NET VNext.
Yep.
You can build it yourself.
You can build it yourself.
From GitHub.
Yep.
Build it yourself and then open VS and tell it to use the one you just built.
Which is how I test the stuff.
That's why you have 84 versions of KRE and stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so we have about 9 minutes left. I think we should probably start answering a couple of these questions. We have some questions that were from the beginning of the day.
Yeah.
And let's get through these as quick as we can. This is from Will. What stories are there around VNext deployment beyond MS Deploy? The honest truth is we're still
trying to figure out,
talking about it.
So right now, our current story is we have a tool called KPM. KPM has a way to bundle your app for deployment.
So that's that pack command that you talked about before, right?
So you run pack on your app and you get an image. And that image is a deployable image that's runnable on the server side.
When you say an image, is it a folder or a zip
folder? It's a folder structure.
I see.
So think of it as, you know, I can take my app and package it as all packages, or I can package it as a bunch of source, and you can choose between like how compiled you want to be.
So that at the moment that kind of just covers the K part of your app.
Yep.
And of course, you could call that from something like MS Deploy, because MS Deploy is extensible.
Yep.
If you use PowerShell or MS Build or NANT or batch files or, you know, custom job, whatever
you
it
call
is,
it from the,
you can just orchestrate, is the word that we use.
Yep.
You can orchestrate your build and your deployment using whatever you like. This is just a new set of command line tools and APIs that you can use.
Yep.
And we will obviously ship with the default experience.
Yep. So Web Deploy, we actually had a meeting today, but we're actually going to support Web Deploy with some changes, so that it'll get more clear in the future. But we're still working on like the actual.
So there's no clear answer yet, but
it will work like as is.
You can do whatever you want.
Right
click,
publish, and it will understand stuff. We're talking about server side package restore as well.
Mm.
So normally in Web Deploy, you publish all the bits from the client to server.
Right.
But imagine if you can call you can do publish, and it would restore stuff on the server side if it could.
So it would drastically reduce the amount of stuff.
So you narrow down the client server payloads.
Okay, Christian Helang, what happened to the good old system.net.http abstractions? Well, they're
still
there. They didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Use them if they make you happy.
And they're still being used client-side, but not on the server-side.
Right, so we have a new HTTP model that's optimized for server.
For server scenarios.
And optimized to be portable. It runs cross-plat, and it runs on the new core CLR.
Yep.
And so for the number of reasons that we didn't use system.net HTTP on the server as the full pipeline, like from IIS all the way
and
up.
And a good example is WebSockets. Like, there's no support for that innately in the abstraction. And we actually wanted to have that as a first-class API on the server side.
Right.
So
it's still there.
It's still
used by HTTP client. It's not going anywhere, but it's not used in the server stack for the pipeline. This is from Hisham bin Ataya. After introducing the Unify compilation ASP.NET VNext, the web application seems like the website project which supports edit on fly, no build needed. Any plans to unify both projects? So Hashim is talking about the website project system that we introduced all the way back in Visual Studio 2005, which we then very quickly rolled out support for web application projects again in a very, very quick turnaround.
Yeah.
So we have these two web project systems today in Visual Studio, website and WAP. This is a new unified project system. So the idea is that moving forward from ASP.NET, VNext, moving forward, you have one. And it basically incorporates the best of both worlds. You don't have to, you get the flexibility of the website system where it just represents files on disk versus WAPs, which was a command line build and all that type of stuff. We have the best of both worlds.
That's the idea, to replace both with this new thing.
So the other two will not go away. You'll still be able to do file new website project and build a .NET 4 web forms or whatever it is that you want, a .NET 3.5. Multi-targeting is still there. You'll still be able to do that. But this is a new one that replaces those effectively. Being dev, ASP.NET VNext will be available in VS 2013.3? Absolutely not. So the current plan is that this will be in Visual Studio Next. So it's available right now in the Visual Studio 14 CTP 1.
Yep.
And you can imagine and expect there'll be updates to
that
with more stuff coming. So, but it will not be down level to older versions of Visual Studio. How good is VNext performance? Is it equivalent to Node.js? That's from Ram. It is terrible right now.
Eventually it will be.
But eventually
right
it will
now,
be amazing.
Yeah. Yes.
That is, performance has not been a goal for the first alpha, obviously, but it is top of our minds as one of the other tenets. We want to be lightweight, we want to pay as you go is something that we say a lot, right? But we've only really just started the work at looking at
performance,
how to make it as fast as it possibly can be. It will be faster than System Web, I hope. It will.
It will definitely be
faster. So expect more to come over the next year as we sort of get into this a lot more. So from Hashim again, while there's no assemblies anymore in the bin folder except the ASP loader, is that means Roslyn recompile raise ASPX pages in every request? So this is around how compilation happens. So he's saying when you deploy your web app today with VNext, The only thing in bin when you run an IIS Express is something called ASP.NET Loader.dll. The question then is, well, if I have index.cshtml, does that get recompiled every time I look at it? And the answer is no.
No.
It's just like it is today. Yeah. It'll get compiled once and cached in memory.
Until you change it.
Until you change it. And so today what happens in ASP.NET is we cache those on disk. In temporary ASP.NET files, in deep inside Windows, in this new stuff, because we use Roslyn, we can do it all in memory. And so we can make it faster. In fact, one of the things that is really fast right now, even in these builds, make an MVC app with a Vue, open it in the browser, then go to your Vue in VS, change it, hit save, go back to the browser and hit F5, and it's instant. The Vue recompiles instantly, because there's no file I/O going on other than detecting the change. So that is faster right now. Is the project.json only available in VNext? This is from Steven. Yes.
That
is absolutely. Project.json is an artifact or a characteristic
project
of
system.
The ASP.NET VNext everything. It's part of the runtime. It's part of the host. It's part of the project system. It's only part of ASP.NET VNext today. But there's a lot of cool things about it that maybe some of the characteristics of it will bleed out into other project types. What version of Mono do I need to install KVM? That's your question.
3.4.1, which is not, I don't think it exists anywhere publicly, but I think if you build from source, you get 3.6.1, and that is the one you should use.
So there's, I can tell you, people are definitely using it on Mono.
Yeah, you have to compile it yourself or use like a Docker image or one of those.
And there's been a good blog post on it. And if you come into the Jabber room, the ASP.NET VNext Jabber room,
we'll tell you how to do it.
There's generally someone in there with a Mac who's got it working, and so you can ask.
It'll be easier in the future, but right now we're in the stage where Mono has to make some changes for us to work well, and they haven't deployed a build of Mono with those things yet, so we're kind of in limbo right now.
Okay. From Being Dev, do ASP.NET VNext have SPA single page application project templates? They will. So I can tell you that what I'm spending a lot of my time working on is what does a SPA approach to application development look like on top of this stack? Today's SPAs are difficult. They're hard to write because the tooling in Visual Studio is pretty lame, really, for doing it. In fact, the tooling across the board from anyone is pretty bad for building these type of applications. And so we're looking at how we can make improvements to Razor and MVC and the Visual Studio tooling experience, the JavaScript editor, including support for things like Bower and Grunt
NPM.
And Node task runners and all types of stuff that are very common in that world, and making it feel as natural and as productive as you would writing controller code in C# or a web forms application. That's something that we're targeting for V1, and we hope that will just get better over time. So absolutely, definitely. Is KVM going to be part of the next version of the framework from Jagan? No.
Nope.
So ASP.NET VNext is very separate from .NET, the framework that installs on Windows. And that's one of the points we made before, is that we're not part of Windows. Otherwise, how could we run on a Mac? This is more akin, the way I would think about it is more like Silverlight.
Yes.
Silverlight ran on Windows, you installed it, and it ran on Mac. You can install it. But in this case, you don't even have to install this thing. Like, you can just download it into your profile because it's a command line, and you just start running it. It's excopiable. But it will come, obviously, in the next version of Visual Studio. You won't have to go and do that crazy command line stuff. It'll just be there, file new, will just work.
Yep.
Will this session be translated into American English? Probably not, Tim, unless you're offering to do it for us. I'm sorry, neither of us speak American English. We're both from
G'day,
the
mate.
We speak the Queen's English.
The Queen's English.
The Queen's English.
So. The right English.
That is the end of the questions and the end of time.
So all right.
That was fun.
Nice, guys.